둘, 셋, 파!
Borahe Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
Saving money on remodeling your home at Menards. Start your tile project off right with DentShield Tile Backer from Georgia Pacific. It's proven to protect against moisture in your walls and subfloors with a built-in water barrier, making it perfect to use in damp areas like kitchens and bathrooms. Plus, its easy-to-cut design makes installation a breeze. Save big on Georgia Pacific DentShield Tile Backer panels. On sale through March 2nd. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Back to reality.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, for making your way here, for checking out the episode. I do hope you hit that subscribe button if you're not already. You get three new interviews sent to you every single week. That's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to keep you up to date on your favorite artists and discover the new ones. Of course, you can grab us anywhere you get podcasts. That's Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And please do give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. Of course, we've had some great guests on lately, including comedian John Early was just here, Father John Misty, Sugar Ray Rayford, he's the Grammy-winning blues artist, Kiana Simone, you can see her in The Supremes at Earl's All You Can Eat, out now on Hulu and Disney+. Akon was here to celebrate the 20th anniversary of Trouble. We talked with Michelle Indegiocello, Jojo Garza from the Los Lonely Boys, Edie Brickell, the cast of Bad Monkey, out now on Apple TV+, Rob Halford of Judas Priest, Dave Navarro of Jane's Addiction, Jacob Bertram from Cobra Kai on Netflix, just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith, today talking with actors Keith Powers and Jean-Louis Castellanos about the new movie on Netflix called Uglies. Now, if you remember the Scott Westerfield book series, then you probably grew up somewhere in the mid-2000s to 2010s. It's an iconic book series about a futuristic world in which a compulsory operation wipes out physical differences and makes everyone pretty. It also stars Joey King, Chase Stokes, and Laverne Cox. We're going to laugh about the idea that everyone in the movie could actually, anyone in the movie could be considered actually ugly. But we will get serious about the big subjects tackled within the story, like freedom of choice, free will, and the parallels of modern day life on social media. Now, Keith, who you will, of course, remember from films like Straight Outta Compton and The Perfect Find, he's going to take us through the world that the film beautifully realizes. The red pill, blue pill situation that the story presents, and how signing up for a trilogy affects the job, as well as his recent level up as a producer on the movie Trip. And that's where we'll start with this. We'll be talking with Jean-Louis here in just a few moments, but let's start with Keith Powers as we discuss Uglies on Netflix. It's Kyle Meredith with Keith Powers.
Hey.
Big congrats on on this movie with Uglies.
Appreciate
I didn't know what I was getting into when I started this, and what a beautiful and, you know, action-packed, energetic, you know, kind of all the things you want out of a movie. Well done.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I do love, and I can't be the only one who's brought this up, but I'm going to go ahead anyway. I love that all of you all are cast to be ugly. you were even a model?
Yeah, at one point, yeah.
What's going on with that? I mean, you sign up for this and you're like, I'm not one of the beauties. That crossed your mind a little bit?
No, I think when it, you know, came to me, of course you hear the title and it's just like, wait, what? But soon I was reminded that it was a book adaptation back in 2005. And I was just like, oh, snap. Hold on. I remember this book. I remember like my classmates raving about this book. So I think right then and then I understood like, okay, like it doesn't, in this world, in this dystopian world, ugly doesn't necessarily mean what it means now, and it's simply just being you. But the title definitely it causes a lot of discourse when you see our cast and then you see the title. But that's why I hope that is intriguing enough for people to be like, I gotta see what this is. Like, wait, what is this? You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
It definitely pulls you in. I can attest to that. That title right there. And you bring up a good point with it being the book. You got the uglies, you got the pretties, and you got, I mean, as you were saying, you got people who really, you know, invested their time. Like they know this story. When you sign up for something, especially that's based on books, I mean, you know, knowing that people sort of, you know, you create your own images when you read, right? You make up the movie and then you're the character. You know how it is. You've probably done that before. Uh-huh. Like, how much is that on your mind? Like, are you meeting the expectation of what people have imagined?
I think naturally, yeah, it's on my mind a lot. I hate to admit it because you will, you know, overthink yourself to the ground if you think like, yo, how are people going to ill about this, or how the pretties look, how Pretty Town look versus Uglyville, how the world looks. It's just a lot of stuff you can't control, but you have to also put yourself in a consumer's shoes. You know, like you read books. If you read books and you read novels, like you said, you create these worlds in your head. They look a certain way. You might see the movie. It might not be quite what you thought, but I think when you're really in love with a story, you find things to appreciate regardless. You might just say, hey, I enjoyed the book more. I think for this, I think people really will appreciate what we depicted on screen. And I mean, I'm all here for like, you know, the discourse and people having like opinions about certain things of how versus what they see on screen and what they thought. I think that's the beauty of what we do. You know what I'm saying? That's art. So I would not lie to you. I definitely, you know, I'm like, yo, I just hope the book readers really like this, but I'm confident that they will.
It's such a cool depiction. And that world building, I mean, really, it's...
Yeah, it's a lot.
Because, you know, and props to everybody involved in that and McGee and everything. But so how much of the way that it does look was written? Because I know most of the acting you all have to do is without that behind you. But how much of that was already there, like that you all knew what it was going to be?
I think that, of course, in the book is definitely more... is described more in the book, like thoroughly. Mm-hmm. I think like, and that's why I think it's so scary too when it comes to book readers, because the book explains everything about the world so clearly that, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's so easy to create a clear cut image in your mind of how things look, even from the covers, you know, like from the older version of the Uglies cover to like it was like a a newer version, but it was still kind of old, that had a vision of how the pretties look. Like, there's so many different ways it can go that could get scary. I think for the script, things are definitely like explained, but I read the script before I went back and read the book. So going back to read the book, you're like, oh snap, you see it even, you know, explained more in depth. And I still think like we did such a really good job of having our version of what that is, because I think our version also really is parallel with social media and mm-hmm. what people go through today. And I think that's the cool thing about this is like, yeah, it's dystopian 100 years in the future, but it's so relevant to 2024. And I think that's going to be really cool to see on screen.
And we'll be right back right after this.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Keith Powers.
Because the stuff you all get to cover, I mean, you know, from social media and the apps, freedom of choice, and I mean that as a whole person, you know,
yeah,
aging and the imperfections, mm-hmm. yeah. like what? I don't know if you could talk about that some more, because the movie gets to like it's a very fun movie, it's a beautiful movie, but it gets to say something.
Yeah, it's saying. I mean, it's the title alone, right? It's like, you see the title and then you see the cast, you're like, wait, what? But I think it's just that idea of uglies is what we are in the modern world, right? It's just our imperfect self, you know what I'm saying? And imperfect self. And I think that is everything. I mean, that's what makes us. That's what makes us unique. The idea of perfect doesn't really exist. And when you chase that, that's when you deal with a lot of, you know, insecurities and doubts about yourself. And I just think like the whole idea of what a pretty is in the book is chasing that perfection, you know, and in chasing that perfection, you know, to not spoil nothing, something happens with chasing that perfection where you lose a sense of self. And yeah, I think the story is just trying to say like everything that you're in search for is already within. And it could come off as like a cheesy or cliche, you know, message, but it's literally what we go through every day today in every aspect, not even just like looks. It's like you're always comparing yourself to the next guy or woman is always comparing yourself to the next woman. You just status, financial status, relationship, how your relationship looks, how your house looks, everything, right? And I think this story is literally telling you like you're enough. You're all good being an ugly. That's you. And that's fine.
I can't help but playing around with it a little bit, though, because it's sort of also a red pill, blue pill situation, oh, really? Right? Mm-hmm. Like if someone does say, listen, you don't have to worry about anything, like even looks aside, like aging, we're going to take care of it all. And you're going to lose some of your memory. But outside of that, you get to just mm-hmm. party and just live carefree for the rest of your life. Like, it doesn't sound horrible.
Yeah. I think a lot of people today would take that one. They'd be like, yeah, I'll take that one. Especially if they like going through something at the time. It's like, yeah, I think I'm going to go with let's say that's the red pill. I'm going to go with the red pill. So it's, you know, I think what's more important and like even with my character and what he's trying to, and what the smoke represents is that freedom of choice, right? Like, yeah, okay, you can have the choice to go do that, but at least know what you're getting yourself into and then make the choice. But also before making that choice, know that how you are right now is okay. But yeah, if that was a red pill, blue pill thing today, yeah, people taking that red pill for sure.
Yeah, it might be. when you know that, you know, and I don't know if the whole trilogy is signed up or not, and, you know, sometimes things have to take off, sure. But knowing that this is a multiple story arc here, does that change the job for you? Like how you approach it, especially going into movie one?
Yeah, I think naturally, yeah. You know, I think the best thing to do is just focus at the task at hand, you know what I'm saying? And then hopefully, fingers crossed, everyone show up and we get, you know, the okay to do the rest of them. You have that on screen, like, you know, and you get to, you have what before out there, and you could build off that. But I think, I know for me, it's really just focusing on the task at hand, because I'm a crazy overthinker, and I'm really notorious of thinking of like everything in full and then getting myself excited, you know, and not really just appreciating the present. So yeah, I mean, it doesn't necessarily change anything for me, because I just focus on being present in the task at hand. I think that's really just important to do as an actor. And what I'm still learning is to be present, because that could really distract you when you're not. Yeah.
Have you read ahead?
A little bit, not all the way. I kind of like
I would have to. I want to know the curiosity part. Right?
I know it's crazy. I haven't read ahead as far as like reading the book, but just like, you know, seeing people talk about my character, and then being like, wait, hold on, I gotta go. Wait, I didn't know about this. Let me go do a quick Reddit research, quick and see what they say, and then come back. Like, just having that curiosity, but I haven't read the next books in full yet. But I am curious. Damn, hold on. I think after this, I'm about to go see, because now I'm like extremely curious. Yeah,
gotta know what's going on.
Yeah.
It's outside of that though, and what all the stuff you're doing, like Straight out of Compton. You were also in the New Edition story, and it's so hard, by the way, to play a musician. I think it is to get it right on screen. The fact that you pulled that off, you know, multiple times in this, but you're also producing now, right? I mean, this is.
Yeah.
Like, how much of this is mixing business with the craft?
Yeah. I mean, like, I think it goes hand in hand. I think, like, naturally, as you just grow in this business, you get inspired to want to tell your own stories, or you get inspired to even, like, create opportunities for people and people like you, you know, dreamers like yourself. So I think naturally you just kind of, I think it's always natural for everybody, whether you're a director, writer, actor, or you're all three, to kind of want to produce, you know what I'm saying, and come together with some friends or people you believe in to make something happen, you know, whether it's a film, whether it's a TV show, whether it's a play or documentary. So I just think naturally it's just like me just wanting to create opportunities and tell certain stories. But also, I think it also just helps you as an actor in this business in a weird way too. You kind of put yourself in a producer's shoe. I think every producer does something different, but I think like the producers who also have their hand in like story, that helps too. You know, it helps you just understand story more, and that helps you as an actor. And yeah, I think it all goes hand in hand. But that's what I'm getting myself into nowadays. Yeah,
and like I said, just to be able to put the stories out there that you want to see. I mean, that's got to be tempting. Just to be able to get in that position, you know, like why wouldn't you take advantage of that?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just looking at some of the other stuff. Because you were in a Big Sean music video.
Yeah, I was.
I'll be talking to him soon, I guess.
Yeah, for his album that's coming out soon.
Yeah, the new one. But then that's it. Like, I've named Straight Outta Compton. I named the New Edition Tales, the Big Sean. What's keeping you from going down the music routes at this point?
I know, right? Well, I can't rap, can't sing, can't produce. So I think that's it. If I had to do anything in music, it'd probably be like be an A&R or something. Like I could help an artist put together a project or
listen. Some of those things that you just said haven't stopped other people. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah,
it is the 2020s. You can do, anything, man.
Yeah, no, you really.
I really do love the Uglies. This is the Uglies. I should pop the V off of it. This is such a fun movie anyway. And seeing Will in there, I really can't wait to see where this story can go to, because I haven't read ahead yet. So I won't be surprised. Congratulations on all this, man.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Kyle.
And my thanks to Keith Powers. We'll be right back right after this with Jean-Louis Castellanos. Welcome back. Kyle Meredith here. Talking about Uglies out now on Netflix. Now, Jean-Louis Castellanos, we're going to be discussing how he just came off of the movie Breakwater, really just nearly back-to-back, and how he found his way into action acting, really starting with 13 Reasons Why, just a few years ago. We'll also discuss working with director McGee, who's been on this series before, his work in the upcoming thrillers Black Spines and St. Clair, and a whole lot more. Talking Uglies on Netflix, it's Kyle Meredith with Jean-Louis Castellanos.
Hello. Where in the East Coast are you?
Nowhere actually near a coast, unfortunately. I'm the furthest of the Eastern time zone as you can get. I'm in Kentucky, in Louisville.
Okay, Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah.
I was there 2022. I think it's the city of Bourbon, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct. It is the
Yeah.
city of Bourbon. It is the city of Muhammad Ali and Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah.
And we make almost all of the world's disco balls, which most
I
people
did
don't
not know
know.
that. I did
Yeah.
not know that.
I've always said, like, it's a party. You got the bourbon, you got the disco balls. We've supplied the
I had some bourbon while being there. I remember it was pretty good.
Yeah, man. You're in France, though. That's not bad.
Yeah, not too shabby. Close to the beach bumming it, all summer long. I
Is that
think.
is this pleasure? Is that what this is? Vacation time?
Yeah, I would say that. It's just a little vacation.
I should do the congratulations, right? Uglies.
Right. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
I noticed, like, so you'd come off of was it Breakwater? Is that it?
Yeah,
Yeah, so
Breakwater.
you've got this
Well,
like
I
this
mean,
environmental thing groove that you're sort of happening here with these movies.
yeah, kind of. I mean, I didn't think of that. Breakwater was a really interesting one. I mean, we shot that in Mexico. It was a really cool set because it was the first time that I had actually really tapped into that action guy within me that I've always wanted to tap into, And then I remember, if I remember correctly, I went from Breakwater to Budapest to do another movie called Get Lost. I think they changed the title now to Lost in Wonderland. I'm not sure when that's coming out, but hopefully soon. Teaser. And then after another one, after that, it was then Uglies. We did that at the end of the year 2021. Wow, it feels like forever ago.
But just, I mean, you're on that ride right now, right? I mean, that's what this is.
I would like to think so, but then again, you don't know how this industry goes. You're just kind of
Absolutely.
riding the wave as it comes and goes, I'm a surfer. I'm a surfer in Hollywood. I just go with the flow.
Ready for whatever wave comes next, right?
Exactly.
That's cool. I was looking at the two movies because, like, man, you're doing the stuff with the aircraft. In several movies, you've got, like, it feels like you are finding a little bit of a groove. That's, you know, it's.
Yeah, well, I mean, I love action. I grew up watching all those Tom Cruise, you name it. It's Jason Statham. I love that guy.
You know,
He's
Tom Cruise went
awesome.
to high school here too, by the way. There's another Louisville
In
thing.
Kentucky, I did not know that. That's pretty cool. It's like Muhammad Ali. You have it all, man. You have the bourbon, Muhammad Ali, Tom Cruise, disco balls, everything.
But that's it. So I mean, that's what spoke to you. Like, that makes it, when we're little, I feel like it's sort of one way, not one way or the other. I mean, everybody, you can go a million different ways, but something about, like, action becomes your calling, or comedy when you're, scrawny
I'm honestly, I think I'm horrible at comedy. It's just not my thing. I would love to give it a go, but it's probably not gonna hit, the way it needs to be. But action kind of came naturally internally because I'm an athlete. I grew up as an athlete. I was a wrestler, the football guy, the track guy, all these things. So for me, it was just always about like, hey, what can I do with these hands? So that's kind of why I'm interested in it. I want to tap into that like high school guy that was, on the wrestling mat, on the football field, jumping up and down, or running track. I want to be running in movies, all these things. I like it.
Did you get to, like try out, like, stage fighting early on? Like, was that, or did you find all this once you got into the job?
No, I found it all on the job, honestly. I remember the first type of thing remotely close to it that I did. Was 13 Reasons Why. I learned it on that set. It was such a long time ago, but I remember I had to learn choreography, and I'm like, well, this is cool. I mean, it's not the real thing, but it kind of works. We're selling it. And then it was just job after job after job. You start to really appreciate the choreography, the work that you kind of just really put in behind the scenes to get everything right, especially for the camera. So it was as an athlete, you really think with that brutality in your mind of just competition and winning, but this was a bit more technical.
Well, then, so Uglies comes around, and it's based off of these books, which, if you were the right age, what, in the 2000s, like people were all about this. Like, were you familiar with the series before you signed on?
Before I signed on, yes, but not too long before I signed on. I have a little sister. When I told her about it, she was like, "Oh my God, really?" I'm like, "Yeah, you know this thing?" She was like, "Yeah, it's huge." I was like, "Oh, that's your brother, had to throw that in there. No, I mean, not back in 05, nothing remotely to that, you know, but I found out about it when I was on the set of Tall Girl, when they were still working on the script, you know, same production company. So I was just like, hey, let me just get my hands on the book. You never know what can happen. And then next thing you know, you kind of go through the process. It comes knocking on your door and you're like, I figured this might happen. And then destiny arrives and you're just in the movie. You find yourself on set in the middle of the winter with no sleeves on, freezing to death. So can't complain, but you know, it was kind of cold.
Yeah. Where did you all shoot this? Where were those woods?
In Atlanta.
Okay. In Atlanta. Where everything is shot.
It was Stone Mountain or something like that. What we call it. Yeah, it was such a cool set. Such a cool set. I mean, you kind of really just, you're in it. You're in it. I mean, well, of course, we had the studio, you know, with the blue screen kind of stuff. It's a big CGI film. But for the majority of the time, us, like the Smokies, you know, the Uglies, we were just in the woods. And it was surreal because you kind of just really see, you give a lot of gratitude to all these guys, this department that just build these sets. And you're just like, wow, like, there's nothing blue screen about this right now. This is just all pure real. And it was a first for me, you know, other than like just being in a high school that looks like a regular normal high school. You're just like, wait, no, this is completely in nature.
Well, especially for the cast who really had to crutch on the other side of things, like mostly, you know, in the pretties world, like, you know, so much of the acting is done, you know, like I was talking with Keith about this too, is like how much of the acting, how much of the world building was on the paper and how much do you imagine that you then like for you, whatever you imagine on the paper, like how close is it when you finally see it on the big screen?
I mean, I can kind of maybe go on forever about this because my brain just went all over the place. I read the book, the first book, so I had like a bit of a vivid way about visualizing everything, but I wasn't sure the degree that it would really be there in terms of sci-fi and the world, like, because for me, I was really focused on Croy, you know, and the smoky world. But I was really, really curious as to, hey, what is this pretty world actually going to look like? Because I'm an ugly, so I don't know.
By the way, also brought that up with Keith. I said, you know, Keith, who was a model at one point in his career, I was like, everyone cast in this, you know, are born uglies. It's like, that's, yeah, there's not one ugly person in this cast.
Yeah, I've heard that. You're not the first one.
That's gotta be a fit, you know. It's like when you sign up for it, you're like, all right, I'm an ugly. That's
I'm an ugly, I'm pretty ugly, you know. My mom, she's like, really, you're ugly? I'm like, yeah, unfortunately, you could have done better, mom.
Sorry for your loss.
Sorry to burst your bubble.
No, you know, we were talking about the books too, and you're reading it and you having this image in your mind. I mean, that's what you sort of deal with on a movie like this, is all the readers, you know, with Croy, who has, they've imagined what he looks like, yeah. You know, and now you have to, what is it? Do you find that you want to overcome those images? Do you replace those images to, you know, meet the expectation? Like, what is it to kind of embody something that, you know, people already sort of have an image for?
I think it's just about meeting the expectation for the character, opposed to, you know, the set. I know they worked very closely with Scott Westerfeld. Like, that's great. And of course, we're going to do our best to make it as close as possible to the book. And I'm sure they did a great job. But for me, it was just about like, hey, who is this Croy? Does he have hair? Because I don't. And, you know, so these are things that were really important to me. My relationship with Tally, how I, you know, was visualizing her and us at the same time, you know, me just kind of like peeking around, seeing, hey, is she trustworthy or not? What's the degree of trust I have for her? Am I forgiving at any point in the movie? You know, these things are important because, you know, you don't want to come off as that character that is just like, hey, that was not Croy in the book. He came off a little bit rough or too strong or not strong enough, and he really wasn't that. So, who is Croy? That was my biggest question. Now, you know, when you tap into a movie like this, and of course, you're working with McGee. This guy is so intense. He's got so much energy.
Some of the greatest music videos of my coming of age years, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a lot of energy, and you know, he transmits that energy to you on the set, and you're just like, okay, it's time to go. Like, I feel like I'm again gonna go play football. You know, it is what it is. He's a guy's guy, so he gets it.
Yeah, I heard a story from the lead singer of the Bare Naked Ladies once, because McGee did the 1 week video for Bare Naked Ladies, and he said he pitched it by walking into the room and jumping up on the table. And it was like he was riling up, as you said, like the kids in the football team, you know. It's like that's how he just pitched the concept to a three-minute music video.
That is so McGee. So McGee. I love, he's honestly a great guy, because you learn a lot from him, you know, on the set, especially when it comes to a project this big. You're just kind of like, hey, where's that energy that everyone needs? And where is that, you know, we all need to tap into who we really are, what we're trying to tell here. And he's somebody that, of course, while we're all trying to tell a story, he's telling you the story that we're trying to tell. So you kind of just get into that flow over and over and over again, take after take after take. You may be tired, but he's still going. So therefore we're all going and nobody is tired. So I appreciate that a lot from him, you know. It's awesome, really.
Especially when you're juggling, you know, the topics in the way that you all do. I mean, yes, there is this sense of fun. They're kids, you know, everybody just wants to have a good time, except for, you know, for you all, you know, Smokies. I mean, there is a way of living. There is work to be done.
Yeah.
But this story that you tell of, and I'd like to hear you talk about it more than me, but, you know, when I look at it, it's a story of, you know, sure, aging, but also what we deal with in today with, you know, apps and social media and all of that stuff. Like what is the bigger picture, I guess, the way you see it with this movie?
I would say free will. You know, that's the big picture. Being able to choose who you want to be at the end of the day, not feeling like society has to impose something onto you. You know, that's kind of like what lives inside of all of the Smokies, you know, all of us ugly guys that ran away. I think that's the biggest thing, you know, because in the smoke, everyone is themselves. You know, you're yourself. It's natural. We work with our hands. We all consider ourselves beautiful externally, internally, you name it. That's what makes us. In Pretty Town, that's the complete opposite. You know, they strip you from all of that. You're not you anymore. So it almost feels like you have this society that's like up here, up top, trying to impose that you need to be pretty all of a sudden. It's like, well, who told you I was ugly to begin with, you know? So I think it's free will, you know, being able to choose. You know, we're not obviously promoting like get the lip stuff, get this, get that, you know, but hey.
there is some temptation, though. Like,
there is temptation.
Take yourself, yeah, outside of the book. Like, this is you and me talking, real people.
Yeah.
Like, red pill, blue pill, right? Like, where your life is going to be carefree. Like, even the cosmetics, whatever. Like, you don't have to worry about getting old in the same way and everything's going to be taken care of. Suddenly, I'm like, that doesn't sound bad.
It doesn't sound bad, right? Not at all. I mean, really, the only thing that because you have a point there. And the one thing that, let's say, like, I look at myself and I'm like, oh, you know, maybe I have some insecurities here and there. Maybe I can have really long hair, you know, all of a sudden, I don't know, nicer eyes. But you realize, like, over time, was it really worth it?
It's the whole, you need to know the cold to appreciate the warm.
Exactly.
Kind of a thing. Exactly. Yeah.
You know, so it's, you brought a good point there. It's interesting.
Now, have you been tempted to read ahead? Because obviously the book, you know, we're talking trilogy here and, you know, the way the movie ends, et cetera. But have you been tempted to say, okay, I want to know what happens with Groin?
I have been very tempted. I have been super tempted. I believe I even started reading the second book as soon as I finished production on the first film. And I was like, let me just begin. And then I was just like, it's just too soon. Let me get a pause. Let me just breathe a little bit over here. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I'm excited to honestly explore the rest of the story with Croy, because he plays a very prominent role. And I think this is public info, you know, in the next book. The books are out. You know, I know he delivers the cure to Tally, all these things, you know. So I really am excited to see how he navigates his journey going back to where he came from, you know, going back to that Prettyville and around Ugly Town, and, you know, seeing if that triggers anything and whatnot.
Yeah, that's going to be cool. On outside of all this, I mean, we were mentioning all the stuff that you did, and you got, St. Clair, that was also came out this year, and Black Spines, if I got that right.
Yeah, Black Spines, St. Clair. These are my, this is my thriller era.
Go from action now to thriller. That's, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just trying to navigate. Honestly, man, I'm just trying to have fun. You know, it's an industry that is like, I'm just trying to act for a living, you know, and this is what I've always wanted to do. I remember, you know, growing up while I was playing football, doing all these sports, I was kind of like the Zac Efron in High School Musical. You know, I would sneak out, go do the chorus and go do the West Side Story and the Jersey Boys, all these things. So then, you know, while I'm in college trying to be a doctor, I'm like, I just kind of want to like act or do something like that and dance on stage. And I felt really, you know, intrigued by it. I love these big movies and that I've always watched, you know, and these actors, the Denzel Washington, the De Niro's, you know, My Time, and you're watching all these things and you're like, oh my God, who is Daniel Day-Lewis? This is intense. And you're just drawn by it. And it just attracted me to pursue acting as a whole and make that my thing. And yeah, you know, I got to work with some great people, Mitzi, Perrion, Bella Thorne on St. Clair. That was a fantastic journey because, again, first thriller that I have done. And then I was fortunate enough to do something that I've always wanted to do, and it was produce a movie. Yeah, so which all kind of just came from St. Clair, you know, meeting people that knew this director that had the script. And I'm like, okay, yeah, like that's cool. Let's hear more about it. You meet this person and you make the intro to the next thing. And you're like, hey, I think I'm producing something here.
You know? I mean, it's great.
Like,
the way
I don't
this,
know what I'm doing.
That's the way the whole industry works. As long as you're out there and just around, the conversations you have always leads to something.
Yeah. Yeah. Before you know it, you have a script in front of you. You have a team around you. You help navigate this machine, and you're putting it all together with obviously your manager, your team, and all these things. And next thing you know, you find yourself on a set and you're just like, wow, like this is so cool. And on top of that, it was my first time leading a project, you know, as number one on the call sheet and, you know, trying to carry a story. So I was really excited for the challenge, but I'm really, you know, I would say nervous to see what everyone thinks. You know, it's the first time for everything. So super excited. I believe we should be hearing about that soon, if I'm not mistaken. I won't make it any announcements yet until they come out from production. I don't want to get in trouble.
No, I understand. I understand.
You're tempting me.
But you know what? You've done to the action era. You're doing the thriller era. So I'm sorry, but comedy's next. I think you can do it. I think you can do it.
I would probably like to play one more action, maybe an athlete, before I jump back into any comedy. I do comedy at home with my wife or so. That's about it, you know.
It's
so,
a great comedy. I mean, you play it straight, all the comedy happens around you and still you're the comedian, you know. That's the
beauty. Yeah, at the end of the day, you know, every time I've spoken to a comedic, you know, actor, they always say that it really just comes down to the script. So if you have a good script, and that goes for anything across the board, everything, every project, you know, you have a good writer that gives you a really good script, you know, the work is there, it's right in front of you. You just have to do your part, act, go out there, perform, and voila.
Hit your mark and say your line.
Yeah, hit your mark and say your lines. That's it. Don't forget.
Man, congratulations again on Uglies. This is setting something up. It's such a cool movie to watch. You know, you guys did just fantastic work on it. And thanks for taking the time to talk about it.
Man, thank you so much for having me. This is awesome. I'm excited, you know, getting back in the groove of letting all these things that I have done coming out, letting the world see what we've been doing. I'm super excited. Thank you for your time, man. I appreciate it.
And my thanks to Keith Powers and Jean-Louis Castellanos, Uglies, out now on Netflix. And of course, thanks to you for checking out the episode. Again, please do hit that subscribe button before you get out of here so you can get 3 new interviews just like this one sent your way every single week. Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And please do give the series a rating and leave a review if you feel so inspired as well. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. It's the best in new music. There are bonus interviews. There's lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Nick Drake, Speech, Lake Street Dive, Audioslave, The Tragically Hip, The Afghan Whigs, Madonna, Cheap Trick, Childish Gambino, Howl Dotty, Elvi, Foo Fighters, Toad the Wet Sprocket, Liz Phair, Father John Misty, Pete Townsend, James Bay, The Lumineers, Noah Kahan, and my interview with Ryan Tedder of One Republic. Just an example of what you can hear when you tune in weeknights, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone. Up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.